Welcome to 1001 Radio Crime Solvers Podcast. This is your host, John Hagedorn, and we want 1001 Radio Crime Solvers to be your favorite place to go to enjoy a great mix of vintage detective shows from the golden age of radio. The scripts were great, the action was hot, and even the old commercials are enjoyable. And now, another episode of 1001 Radio Crime Solvers is ready to go. Enjoy!
Find out. Gotta find out. My wife. Yeah, what about your wife?
I can't.
Clear is, seal good color is,
paper? Paper, excellent. You wish to exchange?
What's it worth?
Well, I'll look. The latest quotation is flooring against the dollar.
Uh-huh.
$53.34. That's what the exchange fee taking out is. You like $10 notes?
I love them. You mean that money's real money?
Who knows better than I should, eh? My brother was engraver to the Royal Dutch Treasury. I myself in the manufactory was until the occupation coming was.
Pardon me, would you mind saying that again, please?
In the manufactory from all kinds of money, including already currencies from the Indies, East and West, Java, Tel Aviv, Borneo, and homeland, Netherlands. Yeah? Also, 6 months in Bulilong, Bali, where I'm English learning.
Oh, you learned English?
Several foreign languages.
I see. Well, I'll take it in 10.
Ten, 20, 30, 40, 50, 1, 2, 3, is it? 9 cents and 20 cents. Did I say that? Eventually.
I spoke a little Dutch.
Yes, eventually you have lived in San Francisco for how long?
Eventually quite some time.
I'm Hendrik van Telt. How are you?
How do you do?
Yes, I noticed on the cigarette case, you have the same initial, H.P. who your name is, please?
Polhaus, Herman Polhaus.
Oh, in a Polhaus, you know, I like that cigarette case. With the coincidence, you sell me your Dutch money. Maybe also sell me the cigarette case with the Dutch cigarette.
You like those cigarettes?
Oh, I love that Sumatra Queen.
You can have them for nothing.
No, such a pity to remove them from the beautiful case. They go together, cigarettes and the case. How much?
What would you say it's worth?
Well, that's good gold. $500? What do you pay?
Nothing. I took it out of a dead body.
Get out! Get out of the grave, Robert! Help! Police!
Okay, Mr. Van Pelt, I'm going.
Help!
Please! Help! I ran to that walk to the only exit. A squad of bank cops blundered past me, followed by half a dozen city dicks and some firmsmen who confused Van Pelt's burglar alarm with that of the bank next door. Nobody paid me any mind until I reached Third Street. I was just crossing when I saw it the second time. It was the same car that had run down Hank Page. I strained my eyes against the headlights. I couldn't make out the man behind the wheel, but I got the license plate before it happened. I felt it before I heard it. It hit my chest like a sledgehammer. The last thing I heard was the footsteps of a heavy man pounding toward me. The clock on the Church of Business the Thief was chiming the half hour. Back to the one-hour caper. Tonight's adventure with Sam Spade. I started the caper with two clues, a cigarette case and a black eye and a dead man. When I woke up in the alley, I didn't have the cigarette case. Instead, I had two black eyes. One of them was on me. Strangely enough, I was alive. I reached inside my shirt to examine the bullet hole over my heart. There was nothing there but a bruise. I wondered what had been in that gold cigarette case besides gold and Dutch cigarettes. The slug had come at me hard enough to knock me down and out, but the case in my inside pocket had stopped it. I limped to the nearest phone booth and phoned Tuttle in the traffic division. The plates on the hit-and-run car were registered to one Hendrik Van Pelt.
You're here. I was beginning to worry.
Where's Mr. Van Pelt?
That's just it. He went in the other room to make a drink.
Then
come back. Listen, you don't know how glad I am you're here. Do you know why he invited me to have this drink with him?
I can think of one
way. Oh, thank you. Listen, he wants to buy Hank's cigarette case. And, of course, much as I hate an Indian boo-boo, Mr. Spade.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Hank didn't leave much, only a little insurance. And the printing shop is a partnership, you know, Hank and Mrs. Soleil. And the cigarette case is just a windfall. I told him you wouldn't stand in the way of a widow.
I wouldn't think of it.
I knew you'd do the decent thing, Mr. Spade.
Please, Mr. Spade. My bruise is besides. I haven't got it.
You haven't got it?
No, now look, Mr. Spade.
Blanche.
Okay, now Blanche, try and think. Did you ever hear your husband mention Van Pelt?
No. No, they never even met. Mr. Van Pelt said so.
How'd Van Pelt find out about the cigarette case?
He said you showed it to him.
Uh-huh. How well do you know your husband's partner, Mrs. Soleil?
Oh, we're total strangers now. I told my husband everything. He forgave me.
Uh-huh. And what did Mr. Soleil tell you?
Nothing much, nothing. He's led a very dull life. Almost as soon as he got out of reform school, he took a forgery rap.
Oh, very dull.
That's where he became a master quitter. A stir, did you say?
Oh, yes, I know.
Then I'm not much help.
Au contraire, Blanche. Au contraire. I escorted her outside and pushed her into a taxi. Then I walked back to Kirk Street. As I rounded the corner, I could see light in the window of Pace's Quittery. The chimes were hammering out 5:15 when I entered Hank Page's shop. In the back, a guy was sitting at a desk in his shirt sleeves checking off figures in a ledger. I introduced myself, and he told me his name was Ben Soleil. We shook hands, and then he waved me to a chair across the desk.
This is awful, Sage. What with one thing and another, we're heels over head and work, and got to pull with these books, and I don't know a thing about it. Pardon me. All right. Oh, well, things are a little confused there just now. Could you tell me a little more about it? Huh? Oh, yes, I understand the problem. Well, we're handling it at this end, but we'll be very busy for a while. Now, there's definitely no point in you dropping by tonight. Well, you'd think the news of the boss's death would make some difference to those customers, but no. Hey, take that fellow that just...
Yeah, I know you're very busy, Mr. Soleil. I don't want to take up too much of your time, so...
Say, what makes you think that car deliberately ran down the board?
Did I say so?
Well, you're an insurance dick, aren't you?
You got me tagged. Anybody have anything against him, far as you know?
No, he fired 2 printers last week.
Why?
Well, they couldn't spell in English.
You, see Mr. Page this afternoon?
Yeah, he came in for about 10 minutes. Said he'd be back on the job tomorrow morning. He was killed just after he left.
How'd he look?
Same as usual.
You wouldn't say he'd been in a fight.
Oh, good Lord, no. He was a sick man.
He had a piece of porn in his hand when he was hit. Know anything about that?
Oh, sure, he got it here. One of our customers, a man named Van Pelt, paid for some work with it. Boss wanted it for a souvenir, so he took it with him.
Does Van Pelt know about Page's heart?
Oh, that's a stupid question, that.
You didn't know Page was killed with Van Pelt's car.
That's a long shot, bud.
Thanks. Here's another one. You're lying straight down the line.
Huh?
You didn't see Page today. If you had, you'd have mentioned that he had a black eye. He didn't take that Dutch money for a souvenir. If he had, you'd have mentioned the cigarette case.
You said enough.
What are you doing? Shutting down for the night?
You'll find out.
Put your hands outside of the desk. I slipped the muzzle of my gun. I'd been holding in my lap for 3 minutes, far enough over the edge of the desk for Ben Soleil to see it. He did what I told him to. The press room door was directly behind him, and I knew his body would screen my guns in the view of anybody that might come through it in response to the signal he sent. I didn't have long to wait. 3 men, black with ink, came to the door and threw it into the little office. They strolled in, careless and casual.
What's up, Ben?
You got eyes in your head.
Huh? What's this?
Stop right there. They'd all been mounted on the same pair of legs, but I didn't like my position at all. If these men decided to jump me, I could down just one of them before the other 3 were on me. I knew it, and they knew it. Then I felt some fresh air on the back of my neck as the street door opened behind me.
Oh! Soleil, what is it? Is it a
holdup? It's me, Blanche Spade. Get out of here quick. Find a cop and bring him back here. Will you do that?
Sure I will. You can count on me.
Soleil's mouth opened in a broad grin. I didn't need any more warning than that. I threw myself sideways, but I wasn't quick enough. The blow I got from behind with Blanche's lady's handbag type persuader didn't hit me full on, but I got enough of it to fold up my legs as if the knees were hinged with paper and I slammed into a heap on the floor. Something dark crashed towards me. I caught it with both hands. I had a foot kicking in my face. I wrung it the way a dog brings out a mop. I was dimly aware that my feet were under me again. Some squirming thing was on my back, and a hot, damp object like a hand was across my face. I put my teeth into it and hit back as far as it could go. Maybe it smashed into the face it was meant for. I don't know. Anyway, the squirming thing was no longer on my back, and suddenly I could see again. I saw a brass cuspidor 6 inches or so in front of my eyes. That's how I knew I was down on the floor again. I grabbed the cuspidor and tugged at it. I staggered to my feet with it and used it to club a clear space in front of me. I swung it high and let go. I was back on the floor again with 600 or 800 pounds of flesh hammering my face into the boards. But you can't throw a brass cuspidor through a plate glass window into a rush hour crowd in downtown San Francisco without attracting attention. arrest you with a can. Exactly 5 p.m.
All right, boys, let's go to work.
And that, Clancy, is the most of the crop. You guessed it. It was a counterfeiting caper with variations. The returns are not all in yet, but I think when the feds pick up Van Pelt, they'll find he was telling the truth when he said he was working in the Dutch government printing office in Amsterdam at the time of the Nazi occupation. He probably bought his way out of the country with the same kind of money he and Soleil were printing here, genuine Dutch florins printed from the original plate. Being a skilled metal worker, he designed a gold cigarette case into which those plates would fit with uncanny accuracy. The crowning touch was the way in which he concealed them from view. He filled the case with an odious brand of Dutch cigarettes, which only fools or criminals could possibly smoke. It was the safest hiding place in the world. So clever was it, now get this, Clancy, my boy, that even I, Sam Spade Detective, never suspected the presence of base metal until it stopped that slug Van Pelt threw at me in the alley. Period. End of report.
Oh, Sam, to think you went through all that just to keep your promise to me.
Yes, Abby, but what hurts even more than these wounds is the thought that you doubted my word.
Oh, I didn't say that, Sam. I only inferred that you had no sense of time.
Yeah? Well, I guess you've changed your mind about that, eh?
No, I haven't, Sam.
May I ask why?
Well, I'd rather not discuss it during working hours, Sam, but as soon as I've typed up this report, I'll tell you exactly what I mean.
Why?
Because I knew you wouldn't be back in time, and if you were, you'd look so terrible the picture wouldn't be any good anyway.
Thanks a lot.
Oh, Sam, that's why I must have been so cranky. I must have had a premonition. I don't know what's the matter with me. I'm so ill-tempered.
Oh, no.
I think I'm turning into an old maid or something.
Oh, calm down.
I must be.
Oh, by the way, honey, remind me to write to Feige in Washington and ask them to send me that cigarette case for a souvenir if they take it off Van Pelt. After all, you know, it saved my life.
You're right.
Mm-hmm.
And here I've been nagging and saying all these terrible things. Oh, Sam, what's the matter with me? Oh, Sam, no, your bandages, your wound. Oh, Sam.
I got Liz.
Good night, Sam.
Good night, sweetheart.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Adventures
of Sam Spade, Detective. Sam Spade, Detective Agency.
Spade, sweetheart.
Oh, hello, Sam. What are you doing?
Having breakfast, Abby.
Breakfast? But it's 7:30 in the p.m.
Well, it's a topsy-turvy world, sweetheart.
What was the problem, Sam?
A gold key to the door of her apartment. She couldn't figure out what it unlocked. Very complex case, Abby. Greed, passion, twisted ambitions, hate, love, vengeance, and murder. The whole gamut. It was ghastly every now and then.
Well, Sam, maybe we ought to put off the report till morning when you're feeling fresher.
Oh, it's very considerate of you, sweetheart, but I'd like to get it off my chest now tonight. If you want to help, just be at your desk. Now, don't say anything when I come in. Just be there.
Sam, you
Sheriff will see. I'll be right down to dictate my report on the gold key caper.
Now, with Howard Duff starring as Spade, Wildwood brings to the air the greatest private detective of them all in The Adventures of Sam Spade.
January 25, 1948. New homicide detail, San Francisco Police. Attention, Detective Lieutenant Dundee from Samuel Spade. License on the watch, 7596. Subject, the gold key caper. Dear Dundee, it started, as these things usually do, in my office when Effie Farine, a doll of my other Zolan, eased in, closed the door behind her, and leaned against it.
Is the girl outside?
Client or a client?
Her name is Wanda Farr.
Has she come a long way to see me?
I don't think she's sitting, sir.
I know, sweetheart, you never did. Sure, and...
Okay. Will you please come in, Miss Farr?
Right here, Miss Farr.
You're so kind, Mr. Dillon. I can see I've come to the right place.
You're so kind. That'll be all, Miss Farr. Okay. Now then, what can I do for you, Miss Farr?
Well, I haven't a great deal of money. I've brought a little cash with me, and... Would 300 be enough for you?
I won't haggle with you, Miss Farr. Come back. Now, what's the story that goes with it?
How much do you know about a man named Dundee?
About as much as the police know. Do you know more?
I'm afraid I don't even know that much. I didn't even know what he was until one evening 3 years ago. That was the last time I saw him. The police came and arrested him. I was deeply shocked. But I thought I should stand by him.
As I remember, the rap was 3 to 5 years, breaking and entering.
Yes, I promised to wait for
him. If you couldn't quite make it.
Well, in a way, you're perfectly right. When I heard he was coming out of prison, well, I just can't say.
Have you thought of leaving town?
Oh, it wouldn't make any difference. He'd find me wherever I went.
Can't say that I blame him. What's so funny?
You're afraid of me, aren't you?
No, not dangerous. Not yet.
Are you always very sorry? Never.
That depends.
Oh.
Yeah. And how many other staffs you've handled, like this county police, and how many other staffs have helped you get out from under?
Well, really? There must be some other type of detective.
Okay, here's your money.
Well, I won't go. You can't turn me away like this. Of all those things I told you, personally, you haven't any right to when I put my trust in you.
That's a lousy act, too. What do you want me to do?
Well, he's arriving in San Francisco this afternoon. He'll come to my apartment for anything. He said he would. I haven't been seeing him or even answered his letter. That by itself is enough to make him kill him, mad. Oh, if you knew, Johnny.
Well, I don't. You said you didn't until the cops came in.
But I didn't. I didn't know he was in with a mob. I just thought he was a gambler, like anybody. And then about his violence. Whenever he is angry, he just goes crazy. I wanted to see him long before he came up. I was going to write and then tell him in prison. But then I was afraid he'd break out and make things worse for himself. But now...
Now, you've really got a thing.
Yes, but I can't. I'm afraid.
Uh-huh, and you want me to hold a gun on him while you give him the air.
Oh, you say it like that. Making sure. But I just can't go back to him. I can't. I just knew that you would come by and talk to him. And I'd be safe.
For how long? Let's say something for after dinner, shall we?
Oh. I was wrong. You're not afraid of me. You're not afraid of anything.
What's the address?
1234 Van Ness, apartment 21.
What time are you doing?
It's supposed to get dinner, I'll see.
I'll be there a quarter up. Budget 4 times. Long, short, long, short.
No. No, don't use it then. I don't want to make any mistakes. Here, take this. Step yourself in.
Gold key. Johnny. Forever, yes.
Okay.
Now, don't worry, Angel. Don't worry. You can put a new name on there. This was not engraved very deep. After she'd gone, a heavy fragrance clung to everything she touched. The chair she sat in, my glass with her lipstick on it for $300. Even the gold key. I rubbed it up against my coat sleeve. The name didn't come off. It only shone brighter. I threw it across the room just to see if it would bounce. It did. And when I walked over to pick it up, there were two keys, or at least one and a half. The gold shank had been hollowed out, and the key that fitted inside it was wrong again, Dundee. Not a glass key, a brass key with a number on it, 322, nothing else. I wondered if Johnny Patrice had been living a double life, or at least one and a half. I was still wondering when I slipped the brass key back into its hiding place and used the gold one to unlock the door of Wanda's apartment. The room was full of her perfume, but she wasn't there. Johnny Petit was. He was cleaning the prison dirt out of his fingernails with a shiny new spring blade knife.
Get that key.
What for? You're in. Where's Wanda?
Change her mind. She don't want to see you.
Who changed it for?
I did. I told her she shouldn't ought to marry into the wrong set. So give me that key and blow.
Where is she, in here?
I told you to blow. She don't want to see you.
You don't miss to yourself. You're sure happy.
Spade. I didn't rot in that Spade hotel 3 years to get pushed around. Why do you think I took that rap?
You took it for her. You're crazy. She was through with you before you went up.
Go on talking like that. Go on. I'll cut you real bad. Cover.
Yes, Johnny, I don't want to hurt you. Don't try. Good
night, Johnny.
Go on. Go on. The first thing you ought to learn about civilian life, Johnny, is don't jump somebody until you know what it's all about. What did she tell you?
Oh, forget it. You'll get that cheaper than I did. But she's 3 years older. So am I.
Listen, Johnny, here's my card. If there's any way I can help you, let me know, will you? I mean it.
Gee, you got a heart. They gave me $50 and they pushed me out the gate, but I dropped it in the poker game down at Six Mission. Right off the bus. Sucker. Johnny, bitch.
You need some dough, Johnny?
No, nothing that ain't mine. Hey, the key is mine. My name's on it. They couldn't do nothing to me if I hopped that, could they? I was just 10 or 15. That's solid gold. They would give me a place to flop until I get my feet under me again.
Yeah, like you say, your name's on it. Here, take it. You can have your knife, too.
You're an all right guy. I'm sorry for the thing that's there.
Hey, wait a minute. Where's Wanda?
I don't know. I haven't seen her. And I don't want to see her. So long, sucker.
Leave the building. He didn't cough when the cold air hit him. Instead, he took a deep breath and strode briskly across the street and into a neon-lighted bar and grill. Something about his swagger bothered me. Giving him the gold key might or might not have been as smart a move as I thought it was, but I was sorry I'd given him back his knife. Sam Spade, sucker. Sunday, I decided to start acting like a detective for a change. I took a chance on Johnny Batiste being thirsty enough after 3 years to keep his elbow crooked at the bar long enough for me to frisk Wanda's apartment. I didn't think I'd find her body there, but I did. I deduced that it was in the clothes closet from the feeble cries and puffings I heard as I walked into the bedroom. About that gold key, Angel, I think you better change the lock on your door.
Why? crazy idea like that.
And where did you get those great, big, beautiful lies?
Sam, be serious.
But I am. We're engaged, aren't we?
Oh, stop that. Listen to me. If I don't have that key back by midnight, or...
It's
him. He's come back to kill me.
Get out of sight. Get out of sight. I'll take care of it. Two of them. Neither one was Johnny Batiste. They brushed past me and entered the room without a word and stood there with their faces hanging out. While we were giving each other the silent treatment, I sized them up. The larger size, I recognized from newspaper pictures. He was a big sand and gravel man, and rumor had it that a stretch of paving outside the town contained the bodies of 18 other sand and gravel men who had bid against him for the contract and stumbled into a rock crusher. Name? Mike Malloy. The musician with him put his viola case down on the sofa and opened it up.
No,
this isn't a man, thank you.
Watch out for what he's doing here.
Well, sit down and finish that comic book I bought for you. Okay, Rock
Crusher.
Miss Bird, I told Miss Farr to hire you. Had any trouble? Not yet. Good. I brought along my bodyguard here just in case. Where is he, Farr?
I sent her to the movies. Why, of
course. You see Johnny Batiste?
Yeah, he dropped in.
And he didn't make any trouble?
No.
Did he supposed to? There's no point in our talking in circles, Miss Bird. Johnny Batiste. Work for me. Mabel was here with one of his men working it.
Why bring him
up? You see, things have changed. Johnny isn't the man he used to be, but I've always taken care of those certainly loyally.
I thought we weren't talking in circles.
Believe me, Mr. Spade, I only want to save Johnny from himself.
Is he threatening to jump into one of your rock records?
What's that boy? He's got a sense of humor.
I'm sorry, I may have been. I was misinformed about you, Mr. Spade. I was led to believe that you were the man to help my fiancée and myself out of this embarrassing situation. Your fiancée?
Wanda? Miss Fox?
Yes?
Yes, it's fiancée.
I'll be absolutely frank with you, Spade. I had hoped by bringing you and Johnny Batiste together under circumstances that you might be forced to kill him. In self-defense, of course.
My apologies.
It would have been the merciful way out for Johnny, and it would have saved many lives. I know Johnny Batiste. He will try to get back on top. He'll stop at nothing.
I believed them, and it was no mistake. That's why I almost hoped they didn't know where Johnny was, but they did. After they left Wanda's apartment, they crossed the street and went into the neon-lighted bar and grill. The time I got downstairs, they were on their way out again with Johnny in the middle. He didn't look like he wanted to go, but they dragged him into Malloy's limousine, and he went. I did, too. The trail ended on the Embarcadero at the Harbor View Hotel. By the time I got into the lobby, Johnny and his two guards had disappeared up a ratty-looking flight of stairs. I started up after them, but then I stopped cold. When I got to the top of the stairs, I saw where the number one burst had gone. It had raked the ceiling and taken every light bulb in the corridor. See the flashes from the Tommy gun and somebody backed into the hall from one of the rooms, still pumping lead.
I'm gonna die! Hey, I'm gonna die! I'm gonna get out of here! Hey, who's that?
He either saw or heard me. I flopped down on my belly and tried to work my way into the tent of the mate's nap in the crummy carpet. I made like I'd been hit, but I couldn't quite manage the death rattle. When I heard the gunman run down the hall toward the rear of the building, I rose courageously to my hands and knees and crawled the rest of the way down the corridor and looked into the smoke-filled room. The air tasted like burned powder, but it smelled like blood. I swallowed my insides and went in. There were eight of them. I'll spare you the details, Dundee. You saw them after they were cleaned up. I needed some fresh air, and I needed it quick.
Eight dead men.
What else?
A lot of blood and powder smoke.
Now ask me if I'm going to marry Malloy.
Okay, that's all I wanted to know. I'll see you later, Angel. Leaving, and I'm not coming back later. Get back in the room.
Now, listen here, Spade. I hired you as a bodyguard for my fiancée, Miss Parr. What do you come off pushing your way in here with a gun like this? I can have your license revoked so fast to make your head swell.
Help yourself. I'm a little sick of this business.
Spade, I warn you, stay out of this.
What's that?
You know Johnny the Geek.
Is that right, Johnny?
Well, I go through with this farce, I can give it to you. If you think it'll do you any good,
I promise you it won't.
Johnny got himself set up on that 3 to 5 year rap, partly for the reason you say, and partly because he didn't want to deal with the rest of the boys. He cooked up this transfer scheme of his, that gold key, that hotel room to throw us off the track. They could think the loot was hidden there.
You sure of it?
Positive. I bought that hotel and ripped it to pieces, room by room.
So you cooked up a couple of pretty crude schemes of your own to sweat it out of Johnny. First, you thought you could goad him into killing me. When that didn't work, you had your boy Naples knock off the opposition boys into the police mob so he could hold a whole master over his head.
Who do you think you could settle that, Johnny?
I think I'll start with you. Maybe you'll laugh until you feel better, Johnny. Don't get jumpy. Yeah, I know what's going on. I'll talk to him in the other room.
What are you doing here? Where's the boy?
Out.
What do you want?
I want to talk to you, Pigeon.
Who's the Pigeon?
Nobody but you, Naples. If you think somebody else is going up for that slaughter in room 322.
Johnny shot them guys. That's the boy.
I asked the boss. He says you did.
You're fucking...
Johnny bargained for a written statement by Malloy alibying Johnny. The cops have got it now. They'll believe it. Malloy's a big citizen, so you're the only Pigeon left.
That's what you think. Where is he?
Wait here. I'll bring him to you. I left Naples standing there in the vestibule waiting for Malloy. Then I hoisted Johnny out of my back and left Malloy waiting for Naples. He went out the back way. I ran to the freight elevator and watched the floor indicator moving around. I believe it was between 6 and 7 when I heard a familiar sound from the Malloy apartment.
I didn't tell her I didn't have the heart.
We talk some more and toast to some marshmallows. Well, anyway, what I'm getting at, Sunday, is this. Some jerk from the DA's office informs me that you want her for questioning as an accessory before the fact. In my opinion, this angle of the case requires more personal research, and with all modesty, I think that I am the man for the job and will be as long as she thinks I have the $500,000. And if I do have it, Lieutenant, watch out for your bag. Serious, and it will go.
Yes, sir. Well, have you?
Have I what, Eddie? The $500,000?
Oh, heavens forbid, how can you be so calm about it?
Pipe that up, sweetheart. Search every nook and cranny for treasury hawkshaws, and I'll give you a full account. Private, of course.
That wraps it up for tonight's show at 1001 Radio Crime Solvers. We really enjoy good reviews, so when you have a chance, say something nice about a selection of shows, or maybe suggest some to us. Thanks for joining us. See you next time.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.